Whenever there's a disaster, people respond in one way or another, the people responsible for looking at what's happened. You might remember various train disasters in New South Wales, and I did think if I heard Bob Carr again saying, "I'm really annoyed, I'm demanding an inquiry," demanding of whom, he was the Premier, he could set it up, "and we'll find out what happened." And you'd hear the same thing next time, and people would say, okay. It's an example of managing the issues. Recently, I read an article saying that we could all learn something from the National Rifle Association about the art of public persuasion, which is, of course, managing the issues. Joining me now to talk about that article, because he's the author of it, is Tony Jakes. He's a senior research associate at RMIT University. Tony Jakes, welcome to Counterpoint.
Good morning.
Well, we can learn from the NRA. Please do tell.
Well, the NRA was facing a real challenge after the disastrous mass shooting in Las Vegas. They could have said all the usual things about, you know, the right to own guns and their usual defence, but they did something quite unusual and quite clever, even if we don't want to admit they've been clever. They said this man was using what they call a bump stock, which is a device you add to a semi-automatic weapon in order to make it an automatic weapon and shoot off a vast number of bullets in an incredibly short time. So instead of arguing about the usual issues, they said, you know, maybe we should look again at this question of bump stocks. And what happened, of course, was that politicians on both sides in America said, yes, let's do that. Let's look at this particular issue. And even though we might not like what the NRA does or what they stand for, it was really, really clever because it diverted the public attention away from the core issue, which is too many Americans owning too many guns and shooting too many people, to the question of this technical device which they could give away without actually affecting their supporters and without affecting all the pro-gun lobby. So, as I said, even though we might not like what they did, it was a really clever technique and was very successful.
Look, I know nothing about guns, but could you say at least that if you did get rid of these bump stock things, it was reducing the capacity for people to be able to kill so many people in a short period of time, that at least they were suggesting an improvement?
It was theoretically an improvement, but of course it was an irrelevant one because just a few weeks later, well, there was another shooting in a church where a man went in with two or three guns. They weren't bump stocks, but he still managed to fire off an enormous number of bullets and kill a distressing number of
people.
So
it's a very minor improvement that was being suggested.
Yeah, one of the headlines over there said, you know, this was the least minimum thing they could do to try and get off the hook, and that's how they did it. And issue management can be used for good, but it can also be used for not quite so good objectives.
Well, Tony, it's been around for a long time, hasn't it? You often see in old-time movies sort of Keystone Cop type things, you know, they're running to find the bank robber and the bank robber comes out of the bank and says, "He went that way," and the police all run that way. And it's often the perpetrator that says, "He went that way." It was my experience in politics, I have to tell you, Tony, that whenever someone said they were on the hunt for the guilty, I started to have a good look at them, because it's a classic for the guilty to assert themselves publicly as being a part of the posse that's looking for the guilty.
And there's an old saying in the public relations business that after every disaster, there is always a hunt for somebody to blame, and the hunt is always successful. There's always some person who you blame for it. And I mean, it's like commissions of inquiry. Cynics often argue that a commission of inquiry is not about finding out the facts, it's about finding somebody to blame.
Making us all feel better. You know, once we think there's someone on whom we can hang the burden of guilt, I suppose we feel cleansed and move on. Whereas really, we should be hanging around just checking about how many others are there that should also be carrying some of that burden.
The key to it, I think, Amanda, is that what you just said about moving on. And that's exactly what the NRA did. They got people to move on from responding to the Las Vegas shooting by creating a diversion and appearing to give something away. And the real purpose was, as you just said, to move on. And that's often how issue management is used.
Yeah, move away from this onto this issue. Don't look there, look here.
Exactly, yes.
Now, you've got some other examples, haven't you?
Yes, I think that, you know, people often try to move the grounds on issues being considered to something that suits them better. And I mean, a really good high-profile example at the moment, of course, is same-sex marriage. Now, the people who are for same-sex marriage, they moved the ground from being, this is about the right of gay people to marry each other, to being an argument about a human right and equality, which was a very, very well thought out and successful move. And similarly, the people who don't want a same-sex marriage are busy trying to move the subject to what goes on in schools and religious freedom and freedom rights and so on. And so in both sides, we can see people using issue management to move the debate to an area where they think they're more likely to be able to persuade.
In some cases, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I mean, why wouldn't you argue on what you think are your strongest points? That's quite reasonable. It's the concern is when you use it to avoid the truth coming out about some bad thing, or when you use it to avoid a discussion about a bad thing, when you use it in a malevolent way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose issue management is a bit like guns, if you like. It's the bad use of them that's the problem, and sometimes issue management is misused for reasons which we don't like much at all. But often, to be honest with you, in situations where we say we don't like it being done that way, it's often because we don't like the topic rather than the technique. But, I mean, issue management happens around us all the time.
I'm talking with Tony Jakes, Senior Research Associate at RMIT, about issues management. And we just discussed same-sex marriage as an example. Tony, have you got any more examples?
I mean, I think an example which people would be very familiar with is the current debate about whether or not we should have the Adani coal mine in Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a perfect issue because it meets all the characteristics of an issue. That is, it's difficult and there's no black and white answer and there's often emotion involved. And we see that happening all the time. We see the people who are against the mine raising a whole lot of issues, some of which may be rather exaggerated. And we also see the people in favour of the mine raising issues, especially about job creation, which again might be somewhat exaggerated. And just a few days ago, I saw in the mainstream media a very, very flattering profile about what a wonderful fellow Mr. Adani is. Now, that didn't happen just by itself. That happened very, very obviously as part of an issue management strategy to make Mr. Adani himself seem more human, seem more sympathetic. And so somebody somewhere said that's part of our strategy, and so that's what was done.
I mean, that certainly happens. I know from when I was in politics and what advice I've offered to a couple of people who've not wanted to do the lighter current affairs programs. A good example might be morning breakfast. There we are. I've always said to people, look, the more you let the public see who you really are, the better off you're going to be, because the other side of this issues management, Tony, is that the media do the managing unless you try and manage it yourself. So I can understand why people wanting to manage an issue try and build a story that the media really can't avoid but run, because otherwise the media will run entirely what they want. And from a politician's perspective, that's extraordinarily frustrating because, you know, the colour controversy and conflict is what they want. And that part of you gets seen. I mean, I've had the experience of people saying to me after they've met me, well, you're nothing like what I thought, because the media portrays an image of who you are and it's just snippets. So I would always say to people, the more you can let people see who you really are, the better off you're going to be, because the media won't do that for you. What do you say to that?
Well, it's true that a lot of issue management gets played out in the media, and the media play a very important role. But I think it's less well understood, Amanda, that a lot of issue management is happening not necessarily in the public eye at all.
Mm.
It's happening behind the scenes. That doesn't mean it's secret or it's devious, but it's not happening out where people can see it. So, for example, if when you're a politician, somebody came to lobby you for a particular issue, that wasn't secret. And if they were asked, did you go and see Minister Vanstone, they'd say yes. But they don't go and issue a press statement saying, we had this meeting with Minister Vanstone and she agreed or disagreed, or she's a lovely person, or vice versa. And so a lot of issue management takes place away from the public view, and that's much less understood. It might be, for example, you know, community meetings or lobbying with key activists, and they're sitting in their kitchen tables discussing issues with them, or finding third parties to come out and support you. There's an impression that issue management and media management are the same thing, and they're clearly not. An awful lot of issue management is happening away from the view of the media.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, as you say. It's not intended to be covert. It's just a part of business. Someone who wants to go and tell, I don't know, a company or a politician what they think is entitled to do that. It's not necessarily news that they do it. It's a good thing that, in my view, that more people are participating in the process of debate. Doesn't all need to be looked at and controlled by the media. I mean, I don't think things should be secret either, incidentally, but I do worry about their element of control. All right, do you have one more example? We've got time for one more.
I think a good example of how issue management gets used for very, very good purposes is the issue in Australia of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, that issue was regarded as a problem, but not a high-profile, top-of-the-head awareness issue. And then a huge amount of effort was put into this particular problem, and today domestic violence is right up on the national agenda, and a lot of issue management was used to drive it onto the national agenda, and I think that no Australian today would be able to say, I wasn't aware that domestic violence is a problem. And that's, I think, a really good example of issue management being used in a very, very good, very positive way to drive something onto the agenda and to greatly increase public awareness.
Well, Tony Jakes, Senior Research Associate at RMIT, really pleased you could join us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Goodbye.